Well, good morning, everyone, and welwelcome to the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District this April 13th at 8 a.m. We will look at the agenda and go to item number one, which is Pledge of Allegiance. And Ruben, can you please tee that up for us? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. We'll go to item number two, roll call of the board of directors. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Santana?
Santana?
Here.
President Chavez? President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. So the roll call establishes all members are present for this morning's meeting. We'll go to item number five, which is the adoption of the agenda. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second, Trevino. Second, Trevino.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the adoption of the agenda this morning as presented. Hearing no comments, we'll go ahead and call the roll. Vanessa?
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President
Aye.
Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number five. There are three committee reports in our packets, Government Affairs, Administration Finance, and Water Resources. If any
President
chair
Chavez?
Would like to...
President Chavez?
Yes.
We need to go to public comment. To go to public comment.
Oh, geez. That's a big one. Thank you. Please forgive me for that. Item number four, public comments. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. There's a 3-minute time limit on your remarks. And Vanessa, can you please identify anyone who has submitted comments or writing, and then we'll go to oral comments.
Good morning, President Chavez. We have not received any written comments, and at this time, I do not see any hands raised.
Thank you. So anyone wishing to make any public comments to the board of directors this morning may do so now with their hands raised. If you're having technical difficulties, we'll recognize that later on in the meeting. With that, let's go ahead and continue on the item number five, committee reports. There are three reports in our packets. Would any of the chairs of those committees wish to add to those reports at this time? Hearing no comments, we'll go to item number six, consent calendar. There are five items there. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second, Trevino.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the items. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana.
Aye. President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So that concludes the vote. It's a 5-0 vote to approve those consent calendar items. We will go to item number 7A, which is to approve the upper district's 2022 meeting schedule. There's a staff recommendation. Tom, can you brief us on that before we have a discussion with the board?
Yeah, certainly. So early in the year, we typically bring to the board, we look at the calendar, look at holidays, certain conferences, in particular the AQUA conference, and where we see conflicts, we come up with a calendar for board meetings and committee meetings for the remainder of the year and then bring that to the board for approval. We've done that since the committee meeting last week. We made a couple of other changes which are incorporated into the attached calendar. And we'd ask the board to consider approval of that at this time. Now, keep in mind that this is our best guess on meetings and meeting schedules at the, but as we go forward throughout the year, things come up, circumstances change. There might be differences in when we need actions taken. So this is subject to change, but this is the calendar we'll set for the year.
Okay. Thank you for that, Tom. Having said that, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Vino.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Any questions to the general managers on these items? If not, then Vanessa, please call the roll on 7A.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Director
Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That is approved on the 5-0 vote for 7I. We'll go to, 7A. We'll go to 7B, which is adoption of resolution number 04-22-637. There's a recommendation from the Administration and Finance Committee. And Tom, can you brief us on that before we take a vote?
Yeah, this is something the board considers on an annual basis. The district does have a property tax standby charge that it collects, and that money is exclusively to be used for water conservation activities, including outreach related to conservation and recycled water. So our recycled water program, pipelines, facilities, that funding supports those two programs. It currently is approximately $2 million per year of revenue. It's at $10 per acre or per parcel on every property within our service area. In order to continue the standby charge, the board must go through this procedure, as I mentioned, annually. An engineering report is prepared. We use Willdan Financial to prepare that engineering report. The board considers that report and then considers action on the standby charge at a public hearing, and we are suggesting that we schedule that public hearing at the second board meeting, regular board meeting in May, on May 25th. And I'm happy to answer any questions or provide more information.
Thank you. So the public will have that opportunity in May to make any comments if they choose to do so. Director, do you have any questions from Tom? If not, is there a motion to approve this action item?
So moved. Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve this item to put before the public. Hearing no discussion, Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So that passes on a 5-0 vote for 7B. So now we will go to 7C. 7C is to authorize the general manager to execute a new professional agreement. And there's a staff recommendation. Tom, can you brief us on that, please?
As our legal counsel, Stephen O'Neill, reported to us last month, he is taking his practice to a different firm. In doing so, we'll need to execute a new legal services agreement to continue to retain our general counsel legal services. And I'll stop there because I'll let Stephen speak to the firm and any other information he may want to provide.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Just for some background, the firm is called Alisher & Winder. They're a longstanding public agency firm that has offices in Los Angeles, County, Orange County, and in the Bay Area, and as well as Fresno. They primarily focus on city agencies, municipal organizations, but also represent a few water districts, Palmdale Water District, Municipal Water District of Orange County, and some other smaller water agencies. And my partner Keith and I look to them as providing a better base of support for us in terms of litigation capacity and in labor and employment relations. So we think it's a good move. We're happy to be there, and we'd ask the board to consider the contract that's before you. It's really kind of unchanged. It's the same group of people who are coming over, you know, lock, stock, and barrel to Aliceshire to provide their essentially their water practice. So I'll continue to represent the district and all our other clients with the same support team and staff.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Steve, for the briefing. With that, is there a motion to approve? And then we can follow up with board discussion.
So moved. So moved.
Okay. Moved by Dr. Fellow, seconded by Trevino, to authorize the general manager to execute this new professional services agreement. Any discussion amongst the board? If not, then Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So that vote concludes on a 5-0 vote. This has been approved. We'll go to 7D, which is approved candidates for special district LAFCO voting members and for special district LAFCO alternate members. There's no staff recommendations. So, Tom, can you tell us what the format and the direction that the that they're requesting from the board, and the board can make their decisions upon your the conclusion of the report?
Yeah, certainly. So I'll just talk briefly about what LAFCO is, but then go through each candidate just generally. I'll also remind the board of who they voted for. Last time this came up, those candidates are still on these ballots. So LAFCO, the first thing is LA in LAFCO does not stand for Los Angeles. It stands for Local Agency Formation Commission. There's one in each county. What that commission does is it reviews the service territories and services provided by local agencies, including special districts like Upper District. But as you see, some of the candidates are with vector control districts. You can have cemetery districts. You can have county water districts like Valley County Water District. But they look at the boundaries. They look at the services. If some agency is providing services outside their boundaries, LAFCO will look at that and say, we either need to do an annexation, we need to adjust boundaries. They'll also look at complete consolidations. So if you have, different water companies serving a small area, sometimes they'll consolidate those water entities. I shouldn't say water companies, those water agencies into a single agency. I think regarding water, one of the largest ones that LAFCO dealt with is up at the former Castaic Lake Water Agency, New Howell Land and Water Company. They formed the Santa Clarita Water Agency. And so that was a big one that they did a few years ago. So there are different groups of board members on LAFCO, and there is a group, a seat that represents special districts like Upper District. So in this case, we have a vote for the voting member and the alternate member. So the voting members nominees are Stephen Appleton. He's with the LA County Vector Control District. Jerry Gladback, some of you may know Jerry. He's very active in Aqua JPIA, and he has been at the Santa Clara Clarita Valley Water Agency forever, probably since as long as I've been working in California. And he has represented special districts on LAFCO before. The other is Sharon Bocciari, pardon me. She's with the Crescenta Valley Water District, who happens to be my former employer before I came to Upper District. However, I do not know Sharon. She came onto the board there after I left. Patty, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the Upper District board did cast their vote for Sharon the last time this came up.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. And then for the alternate, as I scroll down, two candidates, Rue Sanchez, also with the Vector Control District, and Mel Matthews. Mel is with the Foothill Municipal Water District. He's a board member with Foothill Municipal, another MET member agency. Mel is the general manager of the Kinaloa Irrigation District up there in the Altadena area. Last time the board did vote for Mel for this position. The general trend of the board in the past is typically they will lean towards individuals who are from water agencies as opposed to the other types of special districts. And so with that, I'll leave it open to the board to discuss or nominate these candidates.
Thank you. So with that background information, directors, what kind of action would you like to do? I'll take the lead from anyone here.
Mr. Chavez, I'd like to nominate Mel Bocciari, and I have no choice for the main.
So that's for the alternate, but for the main voting member, is there someone that we voted for before that is up for re-election? Tom, can you clarify that?
Yeah. Sharon from the Crescenta Valley Water District is who we voted for before, and she is a candidate. The other candidate that we discussed was Jerry Gladback. The board should be aware that the Crescenta Valley Water District, where is a board member, is a member agency of the Foothill Municipal Water District, where Mel Matthews is a board member. They're within the same member agency service. I don't know that that's an issue or not.
Okay, so board, is there a direction there?
So Sharon has been. On the board.
President Chavez, would you mind muting? I'm having a hard time following the conversation. Okay, thank you.
Is Sharon representing us right now?
Yes, Director Fellow. Sharon is serving as the alternate for this seat.
I'll nominate Sharon for the main seat.
I'll second that if we need a second.
Yep.
Okay, so we have the nomination for Sharon and for Mel Matthews, as I understand it, correct. Is that correct, Dr. Fellow?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so with that, we have our nominees. Go ahead, Steve.
I just wanted to confirm, what you have before you is a nomination for the voting member as Sharon and the alternate as Mel Matthews. And I just wanted to confirm with Director Santana that she's seconding both those nominations.
Yes, I second both those nominations.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that, do we just need a simple vote then?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go ahead and the nominations have been suggested, and let's go ahead and take a vote on those nominations. Vanessa, can you call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana? President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. So thank you. Those nominees have been approved on a 5-0 vote on the Board of Directors here at Upper District. So we'll go to item number 8, informational items. Press releases and newspaper articles are available in your packet. We'll go to number 9, attorney's report. Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of items of note. Since the past meeting, we've done a fair amount of work on responding to the Public Records Act requests. We've got 4 individual requests. All arose out of the redistricting effort. At this point, we've responded to all the requestors and produced the documents requested. I've also been working on some water fill station agreements with district staff, working on a form contract concerning some of the indemnity language in some of our agreements, and also communicated with staff concerning follow-up on the redistricting process. Also wanted to report on a case that I report on intermittently that has a significant effect on the operations at Metropolitan. It's the San Diego County Water Authority lawsuit concerning the Met rate structure and the 2003 exchange agreement. As you may recall from previous reports, that there's been longstanding litigation between San Diego and Metropolitan, beginning with Metropolitan setting up the rates for 2010 and 2012. Those cases, as I've reported previously, have been concluded, but currently there is a trial date in May for a subsequent challenge by San Diego to the rates that were set for the 2014 and 2016 rate years. And I just want to report that there's a significant hearing this afternoon at 2 o'clock on motions filed by either side to kind of shape the issues for the trial that's coming up in May. Not to get into the weeds too much, but there are some significant arguments about whether San Diego is entitled to offsetting benefits for its introduction of supplemental or new water into the metropolitan system. So I'll continue to keep Tom updated, and we may have a little better sense of what the trial looks like as it's coming up in May. And since it could have an economic effect on Metropolitan and thus Upper District, I'll likely be reporting to Tom regularly so we can keep the board apprised of any developments that could impact Upper District. And with that, I'll conclude my attorney report.
Thank you, Steve. Directors, any questions to our attorney? If not, thank you, Steve, for that. We'll go to item number 10, engineer's report. We'll go with our other Steves, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President, President Chavez. Good morning to all the directors. Good morning, everybody, and all the everybody on board. I have a pretty short report. There's not much change since the last meeting. I'll give you some interesting information that you should be aware of, though. As of April 8th, the key well is now at 182.1. We're a little bit over the 180 mark. There was releases made out of the canyon, some of the water that we got out of the last storm and some of the stored water we had up in the canyon. They moved it from San Gabriel down into Morris and then released it. So we did see a blip at the key well. We put most of it in the river and in the Santa Fe spreading grounds. We did see a little bit of a blip that actually increased 0.8 of a foot from the prior week. So we actually made contact. That was the week where the water put in the spreading grounds actually made contact with the groundwater, and we saw a reaction. Interesting enough, the key well is 0.8 of a foot higher than it was last month, too. So basically from the last month, it went down and then came back up. So we got a little bit of recovery. I will remind everybody that the historic low, 169.4, back in November of 2018. Just as a heads up, there's a lot of work being done between the Water Master, the Upper District, MWD involved too, to try to get some water into this basin. As you know, it's very dry. We don't have any water left up in the canyon really to put in the spreading grounds. So imported water is our only choice. the way things look right now, if we don't get any rainfall, if it's dry and we can't get any imported water by fall of this year, maybe late fall, if we don't have rain by then, we could see water levels at the Keywell approaching the historic lows, which is frankly pretty amazing with all of the work that's been done to buy imported water, to buoy our basin, to get to where we are, and we're still headed back toward the historic low. So we're going to try to avoid it. Imagine where we'd be without the water we put in, but obviously we all know it. There's a lot of work still to be done. So that's where we are. Inflow to San Gabriel Reservoir, it's dropped down to about 60 CFS coming in now, so there's not much coming in. They're still making some releases. Rainfall, as we go through the season, through the fiscal year, and we don't have any rain, the percentages will drop because over a long term, we do get some rain once in a while. So for Puddingstone Dam, through the end of March, we're about 64% of long-term average. At Civic Center downtown LA, again through March, about 87% of long-term average. We'll see that drop as we head toward the end of the fiscal year. Water quality, during March, 21 wells were sampled under the Title 22 program. February, 73 wells sampled under the Title 22 program. And we didn't receive any notices of wells shut down due to water quality. Just as a reminder, this is sampling that's done for the producers, basically through the Water Master and their administrative assessment. Part of the administrative assessment, and I've talked about this before, and I don't want to be real repetitive, but there are a lot of, you know, these old words that come back, a lot of synergies that come around by doing things together. We get efficiencies with not having to have water agencies all have their own staff people doing sampling and coordinating with DDW. Instead, we have one group that does it for the whole basin. We get consistency with DDW on the regulatory requirements. As we look at the regulations and compliance with the regulations, when we have issues that come up, it's good to have one voice back and forth so that we get consistent interpretation of the regulations and then what to do if we have to take action. So that's all done through the Water Master and their administrative assessment for the producers. Lastly, point of interest, the last storm, we haven't met or talked since the last storm, I don't think. It was a pretty good one. As you recall, we thought it was going to be okay. Well, we thought it was going to be big, then small, then it was just going to be fairly normal. But I'll just give you a few numbers. It occurred from March 27th through about the 4th of April, off and on several days, a couple of different cells. Total rainfall for that period at Puddingstone was almost 2 inches, 1.87 inches. So that's right on the valley floor. That's pretty good. During that period and just after that period, I don't have new numbers related just to that storm, but immediately after that storm, the county did report that about 2,200 acre feet of water ran off from the watershed into our storage into the canyon. So that's pretty good. It was a pretty good storm at the end of the year. It helped, certainly not enough. And that's all I have. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Steve, as far as the Keywell, in comparison to last year's level at the same time, what does it look like?
Last year at this time, a year ago, let me just look real quick. We were about 195 last year, so about 13 feet higher than we were right now. So we've lost that basically.
The last year was higher?
We lost that basically because of watershed runoff and new imported water available in the state water project. So we've lost that, yeah.
Thank you. Any questions from other directors?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
Thank you. So the last time when we had the historic low, what kind of effects were we seeing, negative effects on the water pumping?
Thank you, Director Santana. Yes, last time this happened, a lot of preparation work was done as we saw the key well, the water levels going down in the basin. So we've got a basin model. We know where the wells are. We know well construction. We know where most of the pumps are. We know where we start to see impacts. So as it came down, we went through a series of evaluations of the basin, looking forward to say, okay, if the water level at the key well gets here, what are the water levels in the basin? And based upon the operation of the wells and their drawdown when they're operating, when are they going to see impacts to their ability to produce water, to the yield of the wells? So we did that probably three or four times as we went down. And we actually took our evaluations down below the 170 mark. It got down to 169, down into the 165 and 160. Our modeling showed, real impacts. I don't want to use the word significant yet because we didn't go there, but I will say real impacts when we got down into the 165-foot elevation at the key well. Certain wells would have reduced production. We may have some wells that are relatively shallow that may go out of production. Part of the work we did back then was also, and this was between the Water Master and Upper District throughout the basin, was to look at each one of the water systems and their wells, their distribution systems, their interconnections with neighbors, their connections to MWD for imported water direct deliveries, to evaluate in the event we do have impacts, how are we going to get water from one agency to another that may have impacts at the wells when another agency maybe has an imported water supply or maybe has deeper wells. So a lot of that work has been done. We've been pulling that back out to look forward for this particular case. As I mentioned, won't likely occur until late fall. So we have a little time to plan for it, but a lot of that groundwork has been done. And a direct answer to your question, when we did get to the 169 level, we did see a few wells showing impacts. Some producers lowered their pumps in the wells to get down into where there was more water in the well, just move their pumps down. Others turned certain wells off and operated other wells because they started pulling a little bit of air or their production, their efficiency reduced. So actions were taken. It wasn't real serious, but actions were taken at around the 170 mark. So yeah, it's still a benchmark. We know what happened then. We don't know what would happen for sure if it goes lower than that because we didn't do it, but we know what happens then and we're preparing for that.
Okay, thank you. And then for a little bit more, do you anticipate, I know we haven't gotten there, that imported water could not fix some of these problems? Or is there any area in our basin where the imported water is maybe below the pumping? Does that make sense?
Where we might not be able to get imported water to help them?
If we have if some wells are struggling, we go below the 169 mark, where we couldn't take some emergency imported water to correct that if it gets really dire. Are there any wells that would be impacted in our service area where we couldn't really fix it?
There definitely are situations like that. And that was part of the reason why we looked at the distribution systems for those agencies to see where there may be interconnected to another agency next door, where they may not be able to get imported water, or we might not be able to put imported water in the ground to help put water back into their wells so they could pump them. But we're looking for other ways to get them water. And I think I think we're in pretty good shape having addressed all of those concerns. Producers were very, very cooperative. I wouldn't say cooperative because it's for them. We're very involved. A better word is very involved in the evaluation because everybody was looking forward to say, okay, here's your well situation. Here's where the water may go. These are the potential impacts. What are your alternatives? And we worked directly with them to see what their alternatives were in the event we get to a situation like that. So yes, yes.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other comments from other directors? If not, thank you, Mr. Johnson. We appreciate it. And we'll go to item number 11, which is General Manager's Report. Mr. Love.
A couple of things to add to my the written report, which you have in the packet. First is some good news and kudos to our staff. So Metropolitan Water District has a program. They call it Member Agency Managed Funds, where we can apply for certain programs, projects, et cetera, and receive demand management funds back from Metropolitan. And I'm pleased to report of the applications Met has received so far. I believe there are five or six of them. Three of them are come from the upper district area. And I'm going to give you the details on it. I'm going to turn it over to Patty. Patty, I hope I didn't blindside you with that. But
thank you, Tom. So these are the member agency funds that earlier in the year, the board had agreed to reallocate the funds so that we could use it for outreach purposes, for messaging, or ads that we can put within the community. So this is like a never before use of funds that Met has authorized. Like Tom mentioned, there were six applications that came in, and actually it's four of them that came from upper district. So one is our own proposal. Two others came from two of our retailers, Valley County and La Puente Valley County. We've got a couple more pending, so we'll see if those go through. But it's been really great because staff at Metropolitan has highlighted our work in terms of really embracing this program and taking the lead to utilize the funds. So they've asked that if Jennifer could make herself available to talk to other member agencies on how we're utilizing the funds. So hopefully other member agencies will participate in this new program.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, you know, staff really made a great effort in that, and the fact that Upper District is, you know, ahead of the other Met member agencies on this. I'm just really proud of what they've done. So thanks, Patty, and your staff for all the work you did on that. So I wanted to start with good news. There's other news that is moved in a positive direction, but I'll let Director Fellow report on that under his MWD report related to the MWD budget and rates. And I'll talk about the crisis we're in on the water supply, which you've heard me discuss at prior meetings, including the last Water Resources meeting of Upper District Water Resources Committee. So we all know the State Water Project allocation at 5% is not going to last the year for Metropolitan in their State Water Project dependent areas, of which we are one. And Metropolitan is proposing a water supply allocation. It's a special allocation for those State Water Project dependent areas. It was presented to the Metropolitan Water Planning and Stewardship Committee yesterday morning, which was a 4-hour meeting, and to the MWD board yesterday afternoon. However, given the 4-hour meeting at the MWD board, it was just an information item and it was not discussed at the board yesterday. The intent is to bring that back to the Metropolitan Board at a special meeting scheduled on April 26 for consideration of approval. And so one of the reasons Met is moving into this allocation is twofold. Number one is to get some significant water conservation and make those supplies stretch out as long as they possibly can. But I think more importantly is number two, when a state water contractor, particularly in an urban area, when the allocation is so low that they cannot meet their water supply needs, DWR have some special provisions where they can provide health and safety water. Health and safety water in really broad terms is defined as the water necessary for human health and safety, and they set the number at 55 gallons per capita per day. And that is essentially what would be needed for only indoor water use. So in order to get that water, DWR requires that any state water contractor like Metropolitan impose what they describe as robust and mandatory water use restrictions. And so in order to get this health and safety water, Met has to impose these restrictions. So what they are proposing for now is that if you're receiving state water project supplies, you should put into place a mandatory water use restriction that prohibits outdoor watering to only one day per week. They do indicate that maybe later on, if they don't get the demand response, they may need to expand that to no outdoor watering whatsoever. There are provisions for hand watering, trees, shrubs, other things. Certainly not what they are now calling non-functional turf. You just have to let the lawn die like we've had to do in prior droughts. If you do not do that and you continue to receive State Water Project deliveries, they will impose a penalty of $2,000 per acre foot, 300% of their current rate. Now, an agency can avoid the restrictions and penalties if it takes sufficient action to entirely eliminate its use of State Water Project supplies. So what does this mean for Upper District? And we're a little different than most of the others in that we do have some local water stored. So as Steve reported on the Key Well and the water that the county released from the Morris Dam over the last several weeks, about 23,000 acre feet has moved the Key Well back up a bit. That 23,000 acre feet gets us in about 2 months worth of water supply. So I had Stetson provide a projection of the Key Well through the end of the calendar year, given certain conditions, water demands and other conditions. And previously that had indicated the Key Well would hit that historic low in about September of this year. That 23,000 acre feet of water delivered to Santa Fe Spreading Grounds has pushed that out about 2 months to November. And so we estimate that to get through the end of the calendar year without taking any State Water Project deliveries, we need to find another 24,000 acre feet. Now, that last storm Steve reported on in March brought in already 2,000 acre feet. The runoff is still continuing, so that will help. That could help. But it would appear that we still need to do some more conservation if we want to make those supplies last through the end of the year. And so and we'll talk to the producers. This kind of a preview for those producers listening in is we're going to give an update from Metropolitan staff. We'll talk about their proposed allocation plan. And if we want to get some health and safety water, we can follow along with Met's proposed allocation and water use restrictions. Or we can do other things to see if we can get our local supplies to stretch through the end of the year. And we won't be in the position of taking State Water Project water with a penalty. Now, having said all that, our number one priority and focus is to work with the county and the state of California to get approval to take Colorado River water for replenishment. And that is dependent upon the county and the state being comfortable with our Quagga Mussel Control Plan, which we have in final draft and are initiating discussions with the county first. And then once we have our discussions with the county and they are comfortable, we'll take it up to the Fish and Wildlife Service to get approved. So that process will take a couple of months. And if it's not approved, I think it's important that we talk about taking actions in the event it's not approved, and those actions should occur sooner than later. So that's a summary of the situation. We'll continue the discussions with Metropolitan. I do want to point out that at the Water Planning and Stewardship Committee yesterday, there was a little bit of pushback from some of the Inland Empire Utilities Agency member agencies, Monta Vista Water District. I believe Cucamonga Valley Water District commented on the one size fits all. They want to say, hey, we can do some other things to achieve this reduction of our demand on State Water Project. And it's not necessarily a one day a week, one size fits all kind of thing. So the dialogue will continue at least through the 26th of April. There might be additional modifications to the Met proposed allocation in that time frame. I would be surprised if there's not some modifications to that. And then we'll just keep both the board and the producers informed as that process goes forward. I'll conclude there and see if the board has any questions.
Thank you, Tom. So, directors, any questions for our general manager? If not, thank you, Mr. Love. We will jump to item number 12, the Metropolitan Report, and Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's been a long April at MWD the past several weeks with 9-hour meetings, as Tom mentioned. And I do just want to focus on a few issues that the board took up yesterday. And the first deals with passage of the ad valorem property tax rate. The second is approval of the biennial budget for fiscal years 2022, 23, and 23-24. And the third is giving the green light for a phase of the site's reservoir project. And let's look at each of these. And then I'm going to have Tom come back and fill in because I just want to focus on the tax rates. First, the passage of the ad valorem property tax rate. The MWD Act, Section 124.5, was enacted in 1984, which limits ad valorem property taxes to recover MWD's general obligation bond debt service, a portion of its state water contract obligations limited to the debt service on state general obligation bonds for facilities benefiting MWD. Tax rates are established by the board. At its current rate of 0.0035%, property tax revenue would pay for about 22% of the state water contract costs. Two options came forward to the board. One was just to limit the ad valorem tax to 2 years. The other one was for 4 years. And the majority of the board believed that we should go for 4 years, and that was approved. The second item is the approval of the biennial budget for fiscal years 2022-23 and 23-24. And the key driver for the rate increases are primarily, one, the catch-up for the loss of water stewardship rate revenue, two, a decrease in projected water transactions, three, a projected increases for the state water project and Colorado River Aqueduct power cost and fixed state water contract cost, and higher departmental level operations and maintenance costs driven by high inflation and the increasing Delta conveyance planning expenditures. I want to just highlight the three options that came before the board dealing with tax rates hikes. The first option, and which I really thought was going to pass, which I didn't want pass, was the dealt with an 8% increase 2 years in a row. And both Director David De Jesus and myself were adamant that this would not happen. And neither was any of the Northern Caucus delegates. So we fought that. The second was a option, a tax rate increase of 6.5% for 2 years. And then a third option was presented for a 5.5% increase for 2 years, which had some support, the most support at the end of the day. But the problem was none of these had enough votes to pass. So yesterday, the general manager came back and looking at the suggestions of the producers, GMs and water agencies and the board of directors, he and Catano came back to the board yesterday with a 5% increase for 2 years, which hopefully the producers will be happy with that. And it was passed unanimously. All of these when we reduce the percentage from 8 to 5, it means that the MWD is going to have to cut O&M budget. And we asked the general manager that he's going to have to seek $40 million in O&M costs, which he says he can get. And he's very sure that he can get some millions of dollars in grant funds to support some of this. But he's on board and he's working hard to make this happen. He will report back to the board in December to look at the impacts of this tax rate, if we need to do some increases, even cut the budget more. And so the board will be looking at this again in December. And it will come back to the board again on April 26th for some refinements. The third, which is always a controversial issue, and most of us have been to Sykes Reservoir, and I hope this year I'd like to bring Directors Garcia and Santana to Sykes Reservoir near the Sacramento River. And this is a planned a proposal that's been in the works, gosh, for 30 years to collect snowpack and stormwater in the North Delta. Right now, all of this water goes to the ocean. And it is believed that if we can build a reservoir there, it would capture this water, which would be a great benefit to Southern California. And many see that there's no benefits of dealing with sites when MWD needs to make millions of dollars of cuts, and many directors did not want to take this up yesterday. But there are many benefits to sites. It's interesting, the water buffalo is really pushed this yesterday and made some good cases because this reservoir is expected to reduce the impact of climate change by mitigating temperature increases. Second, it will improve salmon cold water flows and improve the spawning and migration of salmon. And three, it will be a dedicated environmental storage. And lastly, it will be integrated, an integrated operation and enhance flexibility. There are many organizations that have fought this proposal. And we had many speakers from the Sierra Club, which were against this project. But there were so many people against Diamond Valley, which I think this could be another Diamond Valley. And we also had a lot of people against our reclaimed water project. And I have been to sites and I've had many conversations with Congressman Garamendi over the years in Washington. And I believe this is a good project. And I certainly will continue to support this project if everything turns out fine. But Tom, do you want to fill in some of this? Perhaps the producers would like more information on some of the tax rate stuff.
Yeah. And actually, it's not the tax rate. It is the water rates and charges.
Yeah.
The tax rate was a different agenda item on the MET board. But the and drilling down into the details of what that means for us at Upper District, since most of our purchases tier one untreated water. So the previous proposal of 8% is an overall average increase in all the rates. But if we look at specifically the rates we pay, they had a proposal on the tier one untreated rate of, I believe it was 12% in 1 year and something like 4 or 5% in another year. That is now 7% in year one and 6% in year two. So a lot less than it was, you know, for that rate for us, it is a little more than 5% a year, but certainly less than it was in their original proposal. And then the other one that we watch carefully is the readiness to serve charge, which was proposed to increase 4 or 5% in year one and 26% in year two. Those numbers now, with what the MET board approved, are 10% in year one and 8% in year two. So significantly less, you know, still impactful, but significantly less. And lastly, I want to acknowledge Director Fellow did mention Director De Jesus, but our entire San Gabriel Valley delegation on the MET board did push back and asked MET staff to take another look at their costs and what they could do to cut their budget. And so that, you know, Three Valleys, Upper District, San Marino, Pasadena, and Pahom Municipal Water District, our San Gabriel Valley representatives really did a good job at MET. Thank them. I want to thank them for that.
Tom, I do want to emphasize one point. You mentioned the Monte Vista district, and they gave a very impactful talk yesterday that this whole notion of having, when we talk about this emergency supply health water, that this one plan to fit all districts just doesn't work, because this also deals with enforcement. We've got to think about how do you enforce this measure of 50,000 gallons a day and the decrease. And I think they made a good point. They really impacted me yesterday. So that was a good point they made. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Fellow, you're done with your report?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chavez, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm finished.
Okay, thank you. Any questions to our MET member? Or any further discussion on the issues? Yes, Santana.
Thank you. Just a quick question. How does Garamendi feel about the Sites Reservoir? Where his, you had mentioned him.
Oh, he's always been for it. He's always been for it. And it's I've been up there, and I think all the correct me, Tom, if I'm wrong, but I think most of the properties up there, they've all been sold. I think the site's ready for construction. It's a beautiful piece of property, but it's all land, and it's like in a valley. His talks are very pro that it should be done. And the GM has talked a lot the past few months about we need reservoirs or be able to capture water on the Delta. And, but for the Met to go up in the Delta and spend billions of dollars refurbishing it, I'm not for, and I don't think most of the board is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we will conclude item number 12. We'll go to item number 13, Water Quality Authority Report. That's there in the packet. We'll go to item number 14, Water Master Report. That is also in the packet. Is there anything to add to that? If not, we'll go to item number 15, AB 1234 Compliance Reports. That is in our packet. Is there anything to add to that? If not, we'll go to item number 16, director's comments, and we'll start with Dr. Pillow.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a brief announcement. I'd like to adjourn our meeting today for three people. It's been a bad week. And one is in memory of Miss Sally Baldwin, who is a good friend. And the wife of former San Gabriel councilman and water board director, Harry Baldwin. And she was a longtime school teacher in San Gabriel. And I first met Sally on my first Colorado River trip when I invited her more than 30 years ago. And we became family. And certainly she's been at my house and I've been at her house a lot. And she died last Monday, unfortunately, and is well loved in the San Gabriel Valley. In addition, I also would like to adjourn in memory of Steve Baker, who's one of the most noted people in Monrovia, and he was known as Mr. Monrovia. He was a Monrovia-elected city treasurer and unofficial historian, and he was past president of the Monrovia Rotarians and a member of the Citrus College Foundation Board and was very active in the St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Monrovia. Marianne Lutz, a friend of Upper District and former Monrovia mayor, told me he was a gentle soul, she said, for whom there is no replacement. And finally, I'd also like us to adjourn. It would be nice in memory of my favorite cousin, Andrea Gardner of Goodyear, Arizona, who died 2 weeks ago of COVID. Thank you, Mr. President. And I want to wish everybody a very blessed Easter. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Garcia.
I have no comments today. Thank you.
Director Trevino.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I want to echo the comments made by Director Fellow regarding Sally Baldwin. She's been on a few trips with me to the Colorado River and up to the Delta. So Harry and Sally are good people, good friends. And, you know, sorry to hear this, what happened, Sally passing. So, yes, definitely want to have her memory recognized at our board, by our board. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Santana.
I've been giving a lot of thought to what we're up against here this year and moving forward with our water supply and this pursuit for Colorado River water. I mean, if there's ever a time to take advantage of that, it's now. So I just want to commend staff for pushing for this and hope it goes well to get that into our basin. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no comments other than I heard on the news that Gilbert Gottfried, the comedian, passed away, I think yesterday. So interesting news. With that, no closed session. We'll go to item number 17, future agenda items. If there's any items that needs to be presented to the board, please present it to myself and to the general manager. And Mr. Love, is there any other business that we need to dispense with this morning?
No, nothing more from staff.
Okay. Having said that, thank you all for joining us this morning and continue the fight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chavez.